Good morning, Mishpoka. This morning, this thought kept bouncing around in my head. Rabbi said some time ago that this coming August, this congregation would have its bar mitzvah. And that's really stuck with me. I've been thinking about bar mitzvah. Son of the commandment. Son of the covenant. And the time has arrived for this congregation to grow into that level, the bar mitzvah level. Not just as a social thing that you do to impress your friends, but something that you do before the kingdom of heaven and before the rest of the world. So with that thought in mind, that growth and the need to plant the seeds for that growth and that next level of maturity as a congregation, let's pray. Beloved Father, in the name of Yeshua, we place this congregation in your arms. Its past, its present, and its future. And we call upon you, Father, to speak your living word into our heart of hearts. Speak your word that is sharper than a two-edged sword, that he may pierce, penetrate, and impregnate our innermost being with his life, his nature, his disposition, and his purpose, which is always to do exactly what you sent him to do. Let his life be our life, and his purpose our purpose. And Father, by the authority of your word and the power of your Holy Spirit, I ask you to cleanse and purify and educate and prepare and drill and amputate in any way necessary so that we may become everything you've had your heart set on having us to be. Let this year be a year of new departure. Let this year be a year of in which you present this congregation to the rest of the world and its mission and its purpose. We receive that from you, Father, in the name of Yeshua, our Master. Amen. We could spend weeks talking about the covenant and what it means and what kind of people it requires to participate in it, and what kind of a mindset and attitude and mentality it takes to even understand the covenant, much less live in it. We in America have a real cultural handicap because we are not a blood covenant society. We do not live in a blood covenant culture. A blood covenant is something that is intensely corporate. It's not about radical maverick lone rangers that are independent doing their own thing. It's not about a bunch of exempt civilians that excuse themselves from military duty and combat and whatever comes with it. A covenant is about God's family. And God and his family are not here to sit in the bleachers to see what the world's going to do next. God and his family are here to bring the kingdom of heaven the way it is in the highest heavens, to penetrate and pierce the demonic interference that is between us and it into this demon-possessed earth. with a full demonstration that God is God, the one and only. That God is here to reclaim all that is His. And that God is here to burn away everything that is alien and contradictory to His reality and His truth. That's the way it is in heaven, in the highest heaven. God is God, and there is no doubt. And His Word, His living, creative Word that we know became flesh and is our Messiah risen from the dead, His living, creative Word has absolute and total authority with no resistance, no opposition, and no contradiction. That's the way it is in heaven. It's eternal. It never changes. It always is. But between the highest heaven and this earth, there are other levels of heaven that are filled with spiritual activity, much of which is demonic. And at times like the ones we live in today, when we have one disaster after another, one knot after another that cannot be untangled by human minds and human governments, when even America no longer says we're the can-do people, we're the can't-do people, when there's so much brutality and strife and wickedness here on earth, no doubt many of us wonder, is God even real? Can I trust His Word? And we are tempted to think the way the Israelites, the first generation of the Exodus, thought. I don't think He's that real. I don't think we can trust Him. Oh yeah, we believe what we saw Him do, but we can't take His word for anything. I'll believe it when I see it, but I won't believe it when He says it. And it says that the scripture reading today said God was disgusted with that generation. And He couldn't go any further with them. They couldn't fulfill their purpose. So they died in the wilderness. And God had to start with the next generation to accomplish what He is ready to come down from heaven to do here on earth. In Isaiah chapter 44, listen to what He's saying. The real living God who speaks and performs is saying this to His people. But now listen, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. He's talking to His covenant people, the sons of the commandment. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring. See, from generation to generation, including this generation that is so fraught with problems. And I will pour out my blessing on your descendants. And they will spring up among the grass like poplars by streams of water. It doesn't sound like He's here to have a people that loses, that wrings its hands. He's here to raise a people up that thrives, that is here to overcome and not cave in. This one will say, I am the Lord's, and that one will call on the name of Jacob, and another will write on his hand, belonging to the Lord. and will name Israel's name with honor. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. That's his living word, Yeshua. I am the first and I am the last. And there is no God beside me. Who is like me? Let him proclaim and declare it. Yet, yes, let him recount it to me in order from the time that I established the ancient nation, and let them declare to them the things that are coming and the events that are going to take place. Is there anyone like God? Is there anyone that really has control of anything? Is there anybody that knows what he's doing? No, only God. Do not tremble and do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced it to you and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Remember when Yeshua said that? The newly risen Yeshua to his disciples? Wait in Jerusalem. And when you receive power from on high through the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses. Is there any God beside me? Or is there any other rock? I know of none. So this living God, this awesome, incomprehensible spirit that no human mind can comprehend or grasp, is breaking through to make contact, is breaking through to reveal himself. And that's what the covenant is all about. He will reveal himself through his covenant people, his blood brothers, the sons of his commandment. In order to do that, he has to send his living word to the earth to pierce, penetrate, and impregnate human hearts with the truth and the reality of God and the purpose, the world-redeeming, world-transforming purpose of God as he invades this demon-possessed ground to take it back. But he must, since he's this incomprehensible, invisible, intangible spirit, when he's operating in the physical realm, he must have a body through which to work. And that's the body that is composed of individuals that he has called, that he has spoken his word into, and who have allowed the word to pierce, penetrate, and impregnate with his life and his purpose. And he calls them out. He separates them. He forms a unit. We call them lots of things like congregations, churches. But it's just like an army. Have you ever seen somebody that's in uniform, a Marine or a soldier or a sailor or a flyboy? You say, are you in the military? Yes, I am. Well, what unit do you belong to? Oh, I don't belong to any unit. I just kind of float around and do my thing. Did you ever hear that? No. We hear that in Christendom, though, don't we? What unit do you belong to? Well, now I'm speaking to those that know they have been called to this unit. If you haven't been called to this unit, bear with me. I am speaking to those that the Word of God has called to this unit. This is the year of our bar mitzvah. This is the year we have a tremendous growth spurt in the service of our Heavenly Father. This is the year God really cleans it up and gets his unit to be combat ready. This is the year we begin to learn to hold our ground, come hell or high water. This is the year we learn to resist the devil and watch him flee. This is the year we learn to reproduce like rabbits. You cannot have an army with a bunch of discombobulated, dysfunctional, messed up, untrained units. And you cannot have a unit with a bunch of discombobulated, messed up, weak, untrained individuals. If we're trying to get away with that with just lip service, just hot air, but nothing happens. But God, the living God, is here to make things happen. But he's got to have a body that's really his and not belonging to somebody else. So whoever was the owner of our bodies and our souls and our spirits before has to go to the cross. It has to be emptied out before God and refilled with the Spirit of God and the Word of God so that God can be able to operate in this world the way he has promised to do. And so that's what the covenant is all about. It takes a bunch of individual maverick Lone Rangers and calls them out of exempt civilian life and grafts them into the root of Israel, which is the living Word of God himself. And they become echad. They become one. And so bear with me, but I'm going to share a large portion of Scripture with you because it really unpacks this. If you study it, if you pray over it, if you ponder it, ponder Isaiah 44. That's one thing. I read from that. But also ponder this in the book of Joshua. It was part of what we read today in Scripture. I think God wants to go back to it. In the book of Joshua, as I said, we could spend weeks on this, but we only have about 40 minutes. When we talk about military units, and this is about a military unit that was going to be sent in across the Jordan and into the land that God had promised, he had told Israel, I've already given it to you. I'm going to give it to you, and I have, and it's yours. And the spies went out and said, no way. See, they believe everything they can see God do, but they won't take his word for anything. God said, it's already yours. Don't worry. Be strong and courageous. Don't worry. Just follow me in. Well, the second generation had to get ready to not just talk about it in the wilderness, but to do it. See, so that's the stage. That's the setting. Israel had a bar mitzvah. They didn't just talk about the commandments. They didn't talk about the covenant. They became it by the power of God and the authority of his word. They became it. And they became a point of entry here on the earth for what exists in the highest heavens to be able to pierce and penetrate and come through here to operate. That's not going to happen. God has chosen not to do it independently. It's going to happen when he has a people that are ready to be his blood brothers for real and do whatever it takes to become that covenant unit, that covenant family. And in a military type unit, in the midst of combat time, we all have to kiss our pet individual little interests and side issues and everything that conflicts with the unit aside. There's nothing more important during combat than your unit and whether it's ready to go and do its job. Nothing is more important in a war. And believe me, we're in a war. In this war, there are no civilians. In this war, we have only one choice. Which side will I fight for? Yeshua said, if you're not with me, you're automatically with the other guys. Didn't he? That's the word of God talking. We have to choose. That's what Joshua told Israel. Choose you this day whom you will serve. See, it's not an accident. It doesn't just drop in your lap. You got to get out there and choose it and cross the line and commit. Why? Because we're in a war. You're in uniform and you're under orders. Under the orders of the living Word of God. Even worldly people understand that. Why can't Christendom? Maybe because it isn't stressed. Maybe because they're not trained. But we could change that. When you're in combat, you will kiss, in your heart, you will kiss your drill sergeant. When you're in combat, you will thank him for everything he put you through to get you ready. You hate him when he's going through, when you're doing it, but when you're in combat, it's the most wonderful thing in the world because you're ready and you know what to do and when and how. Units must be trained. Units must be prepared to do their job. But first, they have to become a unit. We can't get the cart before the horse. First, we got to make sure who we're talking to. Are we talking to a bunch of exempt civilians? Are we talking to the unit? Have you been called to adopt? Do you understand the purpose? If you do, if you have stepped forward, it's bar mitzvah time. We have to have new eyes and see each other through those new eyes. If this really is God's congregation, then when I look at you, everyone, without exception, when I look at you, I am seeing points of entry for the kingdom of heaven to come into this earth. I am seeing launching pads for the living God to work from, to fulfill his promises through. I am seeing crucified disciples who have laid every other consideration aside for Father's sake, for Yeshua's sake, for the army's sake, because we're here to take over and do our jobs. When the army gets together, remember Yeshua said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, what happens when they gather together? What happens? What did he say? There am I. There I am. You get the connection? You get what he's saying? God has a point of entry. He doesn't just need a couple cells. He needs a body. That's why the covenant is so corporate in its mindset and in its purpose. Corporate body. The healthier the body, the more spick and span spiritually the body, the more organized and trained and disciplined the body, the more God can be seen in their midst. The more God is free to operate and fulfill His promises in their midst. It isn't about how smart we are. It isn't about how many push-ups we've done spiritually. It isn't about how many degrees we've got. It's about how free is God to operate in you and through you. How crucified are we? How surrendered are we to God? How open are we to His Holy Spirit? How under the orders of His Word are we? That's what counts. How free is God to be seen and experienced through these people? That's what counts. So, let's take a look at this. I've got a few things to drop, little seeds to plant in your heart. A chain is as good as its weakest link. A convoy is as fast as its slowest vessel. A body is as strong, healthy, and effective as its weakest, sickest, non-functioning part. We're going to see that in a little bit in the book of Joshua. I'm going to read from Joshua chapter 6, starting with verse 15 to 19. Listen to this. They're just ready to take Jericho, or to see God take Jericho, because they didn't do anything, did they? They walked around and blew their horns. But God took Jericho, right? And He gave it to them. Okay. Then on the seventh day, they rose early at the dawning of the day. See, now He told them to circle at 7 days. Well, this is the seventh day. They rose early at the dawning of the day and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times, just the way He said. And on that day, they marched around the city 7 times. At the 7th time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout! For the Lord has given you the city. The city shall be under the ban. It and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot and all who are with her in the house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But as for you, Israelites, only keep yourselves from the things that are under the ban, so that you do not covet them, and take some of the things under the ban and make the camp of Israel accursed and bring trouble on it. But all the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are holy or separated to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord." Keep your pinkies off of it. Well, if they're really military in uniform under orders, that's all that needs to be said. Yes, sir. Right? But if you've got an exempt civilian that's still doing his own thing in his own way for his own reasons, then that's not a point of entry for the Holy Spirit. That's a point of entry for the Prince of Darkness. And if the Prince of Darkness gains entry, he wreaks havoc among the people of God, because this is a corporate thing. The covenant connects us. It connects us, as I said before, to the living Word of God. We are grafted into that root, the living Word that proceeds out of God. We become one with Him who is one with the Father. So we become one with the Father. We become one with His purposes. We become one with His nature and His character. And as God pierces and penetrates and singles people out for this purpose, and they come, the covenant also connects us to each other. It's intensely corporate. So we have to learn to start thinking in corporate body terms before we can even move in that direction. We cannot continue to have spirit-filled spirits with exempt civilian souls and brains. We got to get our soul and brain saved too. Everything's got to line up. We need a new identity, a new understanding of who we are and why we're here. We can't be dragging our past in with us. That's supposed to have been crucified and buried with Yeshua. And all things are made new when the Holy Spirit of the living God comes in and takes over. Believe me, there ought to be a difference. None of this, well, I've always been this way. Well, get crucified and filled and see what happens. See? When you're in the military, in combat, there's no excuses. You're either ready or you're not. If you're not, goodbye. Look around, read the papers, watch the news. We're in a war. It's really heating up, isn't it? Men are wringing their hands. What do we do? What do we do? We tried this, we tried that. It don't work. Now what? Now what? The answer is not here. The answer is not horizontal. The answer is vertical. But is there a people, a godly covenant people, that will create the point of entry for what is in the highest heavens? If there is, they are sons of the covenant, sons of the commandment. And when you are around them, you're around God. And you know God is in their midst because He does stuff that only God can do. But you can't do that in the midst of exempt civilians that are all doing their own thing and don't really belong to any unit. How can they do anything? They're not under orders. That's not important to them to be under orders. That's why they don't belong to anything. I'm sorry, but that's not going to work in this kind of a world. Those who are filled by the Holy Spirit are filled by the Holy Spirit because they were first crucified of self-life, of radical independence, which is demonic. We were made to be the image and likeness of God. And the powers of darkness have done everything they can to destroy that and disfigure it and make it impossible. And we live in a world where they're really, really getting it done. But all it takes is two or three who gather in the name of the living Word of God, with the life of the living Word of God and the agenda and purpose of the living Word of God, and look out. God's here. Well, two or three would be nice. How about 2,000 or 3,000? How about colonies all over the place of disciples that are worthy of the name? Covenant blood brothers of God that will sacrifice everything and anything for His sake and for the purpose for which He created us. In Joshua chapter 7, we're going to look at this exempt civilian that was in their midst that had to do his own thing. And then we'll see how corporate this is. It says, but the sons, listen to what it says, the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things under the ban. I thought I just read that there was only one guy that did it. But see, in God's sight, when it's a covenant, It's a corporate body. They're all connected. Whether they like it or not, they're connected. They are connected not only horizontally in the present, but they're also connected all the way to when the living Word of God obeyed the Father who said, "Let there be light." And there was light. They're connected to the Word that created that and made it happen at Father's command. The covenant connects them to the Word, who connects them to the Father and the Holy Spirit. See? So therefore, they're connected to everybody else the Word is connected to. Enoch, Noah, Abel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, the prophets, all those generations of faithful people, covenant blood brothers of God, the people of today are connected to that. They get the baton handed to them by those that went before. And now they add, whatever they do or don't do is adding to or diminishing their legacy. Putting it on a lampstand so all can see, or putting a bushel over it because they've got other things that are more important. So we are connected to our fathers in the faith. What they did affects us. What we do affects what they did somehow, some way, in terms of how it appears in our generation. Not only that, but we're connected by the covenant to all those future unborn people that are still yet to come. They're going to be in the covenant too. We're connected to them. We're having an impact on their lives right now by what we do or fail to do. It's really corporate, and it's really big. The powers of darkness always try to create a cheap counterfeit substitute. They try to hide the real thing and come up with their own rendition. Their covenant is with Satan. And what they're here to do is make sure everybody stays separate and independent and does his or her own thing, and we'll have hell on earth. God is here to do just the opposite. He's here to bring heaven to earth, where all are one in Messiah Yeshua, the living Word of God. All are one. One mind, one heart, one Father, one Holy Spirit, and one world-redeeming purpose. So to prepare for our bar mitzvah, we have to prepare for the mother of all inspections, like any good unit does. This inspection is not about how you look on the outside, although a lot of what we see on the outside is a reflection of what's going on the inside. The inspection is not about, are you starting to do godly things now? Are you trying harder and harder to be more like Jesus? No, it's not about that. The inspection is, who lives in you? What life is operating in you? And what fruit is that life producing? You will be known by your fruits. Is this a mob, a rabble, or is it a unit that's ready for combat? It's ready for combat, and it's right in step with everything when the living Word of God is free to operate and live and do what His Father sent Him to do through your flesh. Through every thought, word, deed, through every action, reaction, and interaction, the same in everyone. Then God is in our midst. And only then. It's not kind of gray. It's either yes or no. It is or it isn't. There's no in between. You can't kind of get crucified. You're not kind of executed. No, you are or you're not. So if we start looking at ourselves and at each other in that light, you can see how incredibly important and irreplaceable each one is in this unit. God wants to live and operate through each one in his own unique way. And we need to have that come together in order for the world to see the depth of it and the richness of it and the overwhelming supernaturalness of it. When God is free in all of his magnitude to come through and shine through each one of the saints, through each one of his blood brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. When God is free to heal the sick and the crippled, to free the captives, to raise the dead in the midst of his people, his body. Because there's no interference, there's no competition, there's no resistance. There's only God and what he's here to do. If God had that kind of a point of entry on the earth, and he will, and he does, he would have something to build on. If he had something like that here, if he really was able to form a unit that's really cooking, he'd have something to plug a lot of other people into. But how can you join an army when there's no unit for you to join? A tangible, visible, discernible unit that's here to be trained and taught to do its job. You see? But Americans don't have corporate wiring in their brains. It's all about me. What can the church do for me? What can God do for me? Here's my list, God. Fulfill it. The corporate army is here to stand before God and say, present for duty and ready for action, Father. What is your bidding that we may do it? See, that's really different, isn't it? Okay, so let's look. The sons of God, of Israel acted unfaithfully. We read that. So now, they're high-fiving everybody. We got Jericho. Did you see that? The people all around us are scared to death. Let's go, baby. And they don't know what happened. They don't know what Achan did. So now they set their sights on Ai, and they're so confident that they tell Joshua, you don't need the whole army. Just send 3,000. That's more than enough. Take care of them dudes. See? So he says, go up and spy out the land. And the men went and spied out Ai and returned to Joshua and said to him, don't let all the people go up. Only about 2,000 or 3,000 men need to go to Ai. Do not make all the people toil up there, for they are few. So about 3,000 men from the people went up there, but they fled from the men of Ai. The men of Ai struck down about 36 of their men and pursued them from the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them down on the descent. So the hearts of the people of Israel melted and became as water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, both he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, why did you ever bring this people over the Jordan only to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we'd been willing to dwell beyond the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say since Israel has turned their back before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it, and they will surround us and cut off our name from the earth." Israel's surrounded even today, isn't it? By enemies. "And what will you do for your great name, Lord?" So the Lord said to Joshua, "Rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. Israel has sinned." See the corporateness of it? One guy became a point of entry for the powers of darkness. But God sees them as one. They're covenant men and women. That's really strange for America would say, "Wait a minute, I didn't do anything. What's the deal here? Hang Achan, but we didn't do anything." Oh, see, if you don't understand the covenant if you think that way. If he did it, we did it. If he's responsible, we're all responsible. Wow, what a different way of thinking. But that's what God's giving him. Teaching to his people. "Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, and they have even taken some of the things under the ban and have both stolen and deceived." They did it. Israel did it. "Moreover, they have also put them among their own things." See how he puts it all in the plural. "Therefore, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies, for they have become accursed." Maybe that's a reason why Judaism and Christendom are so weak. Because we're really not covenant people. We don't understand it. We haven't been taught. We haven't been trained. So we're floundering around in uniforms, but we don't have a unit to plug into. Even the denominations are Lone Rangers doing their own things. How's it working? How effective is it? Does it cause the world to tremble? Does it really get the attention of the rabbis and the imams and the Hell's Angels? No. Not yet. Not yet. It's coming. God said, "I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst. Rise up, consecrate the people and say, 'Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, there are things under the ban in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your midst.'" An inspection. See? Okay, who is it? We'll go by tribes. Which tribe is it? When they got the tribe, the Holy Spirit showed them which one. Okay, which family is it? When they got the family, okay, who is it? And Joshua comes up to Achan and says, "Son, glorify God. What did you do? What did you do in our name? What did you drag us into?" You see? So, keeping that in mind, imagine how important it is when you or I are separate from our congregation physically, and we're all scattered doing our thing at our jobs, in our neighborhoods. And I'm tempted to sin. Am I going to try to struggle with this and fight it off or try to overcome it just for myself? Or am I doing it also for each one of you? If I create a point of entry for the powers of darkness, am I just hurting myself? Or am I hurting my unit? If I see somebody that really is in need, and I do everything I can to bless them and help them, is it just me doing it, or are you doing it too? See? Now imagine what could happen in this region if everybody here was a real blood brother or sister of God and His people. What would happen if we all regularly would get together as the body to bless and praise and worship God and bring the problems that we have been assigned to into His lap so that He could respond and speak His word into them according to our covenant? Just try to get a feel of the power and the authority that comes with this covenant when it is observed and faithfully lived out. Just imagine the authority that comes when we are one with the living Word of God, who has all authority in heaven and on earth, and He's able to operate and do what His Father sent Him to do on earth through our flesh, through our situations, through our whatever. Problems, doesn't matter. And if we all are clicked into this and know that we're linked to each other no matter what we're doing at any given time, and we get on the phone and call our brothers and sisters and say, we need to pray. We need to call a meeting so that we can pray. And they all came and assembled the unit. Would God listen? Would God respond? Read it. Look at the terms of the covenant. If you do what I tell you, I will bless you coming in and going out. If you don't, you'll be cursed. What a change that could make in this world if we were drilled and trained and prepared to not only read the Bible, but to be the Bible. If we were drilled and trained to not only believe what we see God do, but to believe and do what He said, even when we don't see it. That would take military-level discipline, wouldn't it? And focus. But if we're trained, then when we're in combat, we're ready. We know what to do and how to do it and when. And we stick together come hell or high water because we're a unit. Because Yeshua needs a body, not just a pile of chopped liver. Yeshua needs a healthy, whole body that really reveals Him and embodies Him and brings His presence wherever it goes. That's what those scriptures are telling us. Then, when He's got the body and the covenant is being observed, God fulfills His word and His promise and His covenant spectacularly. And believe me, that gets the world's attention. It gets anybody's attention. It even blows away the prince of darkness. Not because of how great we are as individuals, but how together we are as a family, the family of God. I hope and pray I've been able to communicate what is in my heart for this congregation. I hope and pray you understand how important each one of us is. I hope and pray you understand how included God has made you to be and what a purpose and a destiny each one of you has. As long as you're wearing your uniform and you're under orders and you're connected to your unit. Amen.